Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Let's continue today with our special series on General Electric's legacy in Western Massachusetts. GE operated massive transformer manufacturing plants in Pittsfield for more than 80 years, and yesterday we heard from former plant employees and the surprising combination of deep love and frustration they feel for the company. Today we're going to explore how GE's legacy carries forward in the region, specifically how Western Massachusetts is dealing with the major chemical contamination GE operations left in the waterways. People have very strong feelings about this. For example, here's Tim Gray, executive director of the Housatonic River Initiative.
GE made billions in the transformer business. And we're saying, you know what, you owe it to us. Instead of packing the station wagon, which they've done, it's kind of like, you owe it to us to come back to Berkshire County and clean this stuff up.
Polychlorinated biphenyls, or PCBs, were banned by the government in 1979, but they were widely used in manufacturing for decades prior to that. As we discovered, this is probably the only fact about GE's legacy where there's universal agreement. On just about every other aspect of what to do with the contamination, there's a variety of deeply held opinions and disputes. For example, GE estimates that there could be up to 70,000 pounds of PCBs left in the Housatonic River today. The EPA puts the number at some 600,000 pounds. Back in 1998, GE and federal, multi-state, and local governments reached a consent decree that laid the groundwork for cleanup plans. A couple of years later, the EPA and GE rehabilitated a two-mile stretch of the Housatonic in downtown Pittsfield. Now, the focus is on the rest of the river, as it's called, a more than 10-mile stretch of the Housatonic, and there is a great deal of disagreement on how to clean it. We'll start with the group stuck in the middle, the Environmental Protection Agency.
We've heard, you know, GE saying, well, you know, you're taking too much out, you're going to hurt the river. Other people saying, you're not taking enough out, you're going to hurt the river and all the critters. So, you know, we're someplace in the middle, and we're hearing criticism from both sides, but that's not a surprise. And, you know.
Jim Murphy is the EPA's head of community involvement for the Housatonic. We're with him and Dean Taliaferro at Uncomet Brook, which flows directly into the Housatonic River. Taliaferro has been the EPA's project manager for the Housatonic cleanup for 15 years.
So what exactly are we seeing
right now? You're seeing a dried out brook.
Just a dried out brook.
Right. Typically, this would be filled with water or a flowing brook. And when the restoration's done, there'll be more clean soil put back in.
The Uncomet Brook cleanup is typical of these kinds of restorations. The water's diverted, contaminated soil is dredged out, and clean soil is put back in. Pretty straightforward, in theory. That is what was done in Central Pittsfield. GE says it spent more than $500 million on that part of the project, but the company objects to the EPA's new plans for the rest of the Housatonic River. Earlier, at the EPA's field offices, Jim Murphy described those plans to us.
Our proposal is to have the waste, whatever comes out of the river and the floodplain, we're estimating it's close to 1 million cubic yards, be shipped out of state.
And therein lies the problem for GE. It would take about 100,000 dump trucks to move all that contaminated sediment out of Massachusetts in compliance with state regulations. The EPA estimates it would cost $300 million just to do that, bringing the total cost of restoration to more than $600 million. GE objects to the size and scope of the EPA's plan, and in a January 2016 letter to the EPA, GE argued that it should be exempt from state hazardous waste regulations. It called the EPA's plan, quote, arbitrary and capricious. In a March letter, GE wrote that, quote, EPA also concedes that out-of-state disposal of contaminated sediments has no other benefit than placating local opponents. The EPA still has to make a final decision, and the dispute could ultimately end up in federal court. However, back in April, GE CEO Jeffrey Immelt told WBUR he's optimistic.
Oh gosh, look, we're just completing maybe the largest dredging project in the history of mankind on the Hudson River. So my suspicion is that we'll be able to come up with a good solution with the state of Massachusetts. We're very knowledgeable about how this should be done.
Immelt's referring to the 50-year, $1 billion PCB decontamination of the Hudson River. So back at the Uncomet Brook site, I asked the EPA's Jim Murphy about what Immelt said, specifically that GE knows how PCB cleanups should be done.
Right. Well, the Hudson and the Housatonic are two very different rivers, and I'll just leave it at that.
Did I touch a nerve there on accident?
Well, no.
That's what he said, right?
Right. Well, they did the work on the Hudson according to the EPA plan, so that's all we're asking them to do again. We have a lot of experience, too, and we think we're the experts.
So part of this story is, yes, a battle between experts. We left the Uncomet Brook site to meet with another expert at a part of the Housatonic River that could be dredged under the EPA's plan.
Head southwest on Merrill Road toward Larch Street.
My name is Rob Brooks. I'm a professor of geography and ecology at the Pennsylvania State University. And I've been visiting this area for research for nearly 40 years.
We walk through wetlands and along the banks of the Housatonic. Brooks points out migratory birds, threatened amphibians, evidence of beavers in the area. And he says all of this could be destroyed by the EPA's plan.
It would be devastating. And this whole section is proposed to have 1 to 2 feet of the river bottom completely removed. That means they have to basically turn it into a construction site, put up a wall, a waterproof wall, work on one side, do the work there, then go to the other side. So imagine that kind of construction going on here. So every place you see right here would be gone.
But could the Housatonic recover from the cleanup? 25, 50, 100 years from now, could the river return to its current state of wilderness, I ask him. Because that's part of the calculus here, isn't it? Short-term disruption in exchange for a river that's clean and healthy in the long run. Robert Brooks shakes his head.
Our own experience with rivers that have been restored and monitoring those is that they don't come back to this kind of condition.
And that's why he's opposed to the EPA plan of a wholesale cleanup of the Housatonic. In fact, Brooks advised GE on an alternate plan, targeted surgical cleanups where PCB contamination is highest.
Then when I see EPA's remediation plan, it's like a giant sledgehammer that's just going to pound the system, and it's going to pound it for a long, long time. And that hurts.
Robert Brooks has been coming to the Housatonic for 40 years, and he's done extensive research on the river. But we should note that some of that research was funded by GE. In fact, in the process of reporting this story, we asked GE several times if we could speak with a member of its corporate leadership team. They instead connected us with Professor Brooks and brought him up from Pennsylvania to meet us. A GE public relations manager accompanied Brooks as we talked.
Just one last question. You mentioned earlier that you had done some work with some other researchers for GE, and we are actually here with a representative of GE's PR department. Are you a paid consultant for GE?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm an expert, like an expert witness or expert to give independent assessment, and even back to the original Kingfisher studies we did in the early 2000s. I'm here to give my scientific opinion, and they in no way influence that.
We turn to walk back to the cars, but before we depart, Robert Brooks adds one more thought.
I think it's a very small risk to give up what you have and the pleasure of having this in your backyard. It's a real treasure for the community of Pittsfield and surrounding places, and I wouldn't want to let it go. I'd fight hard to save it.
That's exactly what many people who live along the river say they're doing. They're fighting for the Housatonic. But they've got very different views on what saving it actually means.
Yeah, don't destroy the river to clean it. It's all these people that have gotten bought in by GE to say that same bottom line is leave the river alone.
On one end of the spectrum are people like Tim Gray, head of the Housatonic River Initiative. He wants the most comprehensive cleanup possible. On the other end, residents like Jeffrey Cook.
The EPA seems to think can somehow be saved while they rip all this stuff up. But those of us who look at it every day and enjoy recreating in that area have no such confidence that they will do it.
Cook is a member of a group of business leaders that provided input for the original 1998 consent decree. He also lives along the same stretch of the Housatonic we visited.
I'm not carrying a bucket for GE at all and wouldn't. There's a very, very legitimate position among the folks living in Ground Zero, is what I call it, and there's a lot more to what EPA passes off as the gospel that people should be looking hard at before we spend $600 million or more dollars destroying the wetlands, the floodplains, and the river in that area of the city of Pittsfield and the town of Lenox.
The Housatonic River flows through Pittsfield and into Lenox, draining into Woods Pond. That's where we made our final stop and met Tim Gray. You heard him a little bit earlier. He's with the Housatonic River Initiative. And when we met Gray, PCBs were already the topic of conversation with a couple of local dog walkers.
You know, does it make sense? Let's dig them out of the river and let's dump them on the side of the river. You know?
It's crazy.
It is crazy. It's just...
We stood on a bridge that overlooks Woods Pond, and on the surface, it's beautiful.
So what we see is October Mountain State Forest. If you hop out in a canoe and go north, you'll feel like you're canoeing through Montana because it's an absolutely wonderful place. Bald eagles fly through here. Osprey, herons, you name it, are in this section of the river, and they're all eating fish, which are highly contaminated. And this pond here is one of the more contaminated ponds in the country.
How contaminated is it?
It's very contaminated.
EPA says concentrations of PCBs found in wildlife at Woods Pond is up to 100 times higher than what's considered a safe level. The pond acts like a catch basin for the PCBs, and more than half of the PCBs go over a dam and continue downstream 140 miles along the river. GE's preferred solution is to dredge the pond and deposit the contaminated sediments in a nearby landfill. The EPA is pushing to truck the soil out of state. Tim Gray opposes GE's plan, but he also takes issue with the EPA. He wants them to dredge even more of the sediments upstream from Woods Pond. But like so many of the people we talked to for this series, Tim Gray has been fighting this battle for decades. And with that long experience comes a certain kind of perspective.
Well, it's better than doing nothing, okay? It is better than doing nothing, but we're still mystified why we have to leave all these PCBs in the river. You know, when we study the river 30 years from now, will we really be clean? We're very worried about that. And so we say to the EPA, have a little more guts and clean it up, you know? But everything's a compromise with corporations.
To us, that's the biggest takeaway from our exploration of GE's legacy in Western Massachusetts. The people who must make the biggest compromises are those who have to live with that legacy. Also, there is a lot of disagreement on how to manage the after effects of GE's 80 years in Pittsfield. But folks do agree on at least two things. Something must be done, and why that something matters.
You know, this is, for me, it's about our grandkids. This thing is so contaminated that I'm going to be long gone before the results of the cleanup 50 years from now is going to really be seen. But the dream is my grandkids could come down and throw a pole in the river and not be afraid of getting a high dose of PCBs.
Our special series on GE's legacy in Western Massachusetts was produced by Jamie Bologna. You can listen back to both parts of the series at our website, radioboston.org. And while you're there, let us know what you think Boston can learn from Pittsfield. We'd love to hear your thoughts. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.